Welcome to Truth Talk for Conscious Entrepreneurs. This is your host, Emma Churchman. Welcome to a limited series I've created titled Cleared for Profit, Heal Your Trauma to Grow Your Business, where I interview experts on how trauma informs your business.
I'm delighted to welcome to this episode Cynthia Berg. So Cynthia has a lot to say about what actually goes on in the physical body in relationship to trauma. So she's got the highest level of certification in network spinal analysis. Her expertise comes from both extensive studies with the neurological system and its relation to structure and behavior and perception. She has experience with the stages of healing in her own transformation in life. She's actually spent 18 years working to help people experience and appreciate their natural intelligence to grow and heal. So welcome, Cynthia.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
My first question for you, because we're talking about trauma and how trauma informs entrepreneurs and business, how do you define trauma?
Yeah, well, thanks for asking that question. And trauma is, I mean, it's not necessarily, most people think of trauma as in a traumatic event, which is something outside of ourselves, such as an abusive situation or a physical trauma, car accident, that type of thing. But how I define and look at trauma is a little bit different. And what trauma means to me is when we don't have enough energy to process a particular situation. And that's why someone could experience, you know, two different people could experience the same thing. And one is traumatized by the experience, yet another has a different background, a different skill set, and they aren't as traumatized from it. So I think it's powerful when we can look at the experience of trauma more from an internal perspective of how is that person able to adjust with what's happening to them. And so trauma in that sense would be anytime we have a stressor that we're unable to have enough energy to process at the time.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And what inspired you to start working with trauma?
Well, I guess when I was a kid, I was just naturally fascinated by everything that was alive and animated. And so, you know, I just remember we had cats, and so our cats would catch little animals, and then we'd try to nurse them back to health. And what I would see is, you know, there was a broad scale of what made things alive. And so as I started my own career path, being fascinated by that, I found chiropractic and its ability to unlock and really study that innate intelligence, that life force energy that's somewhat mysterious, that is both things that we study and can become aware of, but also still holds so much mystery beyond what we understand. So it actually came from the opposite. It came from this fascination of life's expression and the different qualities that meant, like more breath, more coordinated, efficient, effective movement you would see in all of these different creatures or in ourselves, and just wanting to be more fully alive. So I found the work by Donald Epstein, Network Spinal Analysis, and with that, he would make a gentle contact along the spine in a very specific place. And while people are laying on the table, you would start to see waves and you would start to see their breath change and you would start to see, you know, tight where they had obviously held, you know, their shoulders were up to their ears, and they would start to move in a more rhythmic way. And you would see the body actually start to express that energy and release tension. So I was really mostly fascinated by what made us alive. But in that study, the other side of that sword is just that, you know, what is it that hinders us? What is it that makes us freeze? And what is it that brings us closer to more of kind of that static, stable state, which in the big picture of life, we could look at more as death. And so as a child and growing into adult, like what makes us more alive is kind of the other side of that spectrum. And so it's really starting to find the different ways that we can express the tension and energy that's stored in our body through tight muscles or locked postures, and start to come more fully into what it is to fully express our human experience. So I can't say that they're separate, but I think it was more motivated. My own personal journey was motivated more by just a curiosity and a fascination. And I would say personally, I lived in a very, just white bread kind of family. So it wasn't full of a tremendous amount of life expression. It was more, very nice and kind, uncontroversial. And my best friend when I was 10 moved across the street from me from, she was from Long Island, and her family was Jewish, and they were just very boisterous and expressive. And they would both like laugh and love each other, but they would also scream at each other. And so I have to say that I also had a fascination kind of with just that quality of being more alive and what we could do with that. So, in my own journey, I wouldn't say that I was conscious of any trauma until I started trying to be successful in my life. And as we've hit different barriers, different things would come up. And as I kind of dived in with the tools and resources I had, I actually uncovered that there was some pretty significant trauma in my life. But my defensive strategy and my nervous system had very discreetly and carefully, deposited it in my subconscious that I didn't even have any memories. I had no memories of the significant trauma that I'd experienced until I was in my early 40s, late 30s, early 40s, when I started having memories and started putting some of the pieces together and started to understand in myself my own fight or flight response that was really limiting me and in my ability to move forward and manifest and create the things that I wanted to create in life.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. And I think that often happens for folks that this stuff gets buried in the subconscious. For me, I didn't start to have memories of my sexual abuse until I was in my 30s. And now I can see, looking backwards, is that all of my patterns of behavior were in response to that kind of trauma, but I didn't know it consciously.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's like flipping through the Rolodex. It's like once we can start to piece it back together, you can see how it was always there, and you can see how you were always reacting to it. But we didn't know, And so I think that's part of the beautiful thing that's available to us as we grow and start to become more conscious. Is that we really can start to unravel all of these things through time. As we have more resources, I don't know what happened for you in your 30s, but I know it's so common. I hear that story all the time that people didn't recall abusive situations until, they went through childbirth, they had children. For me, it was a divorce that I was going through and trying to understand why I was allowing myself to be mentally and emotionally and spiritually abused in the situation, that started to trigger and help you remember. And I would say at that point, what usually happens for people is there's some new available resources that come up that allow their consciousness to start to remember, and that there's more energy, more resources present than say when we were 1 or 2 years old and experiencing something where we didn't have the help and we couldn't reach out. It's not possible for us to reach out to the resources that we needed at that time. It seems like a very common process.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm curious, are you able to speak into, so for those folks who are listening to this episode who may not have full conscious awareness of trauma that they have experienced in the past, are you able to speak into any patterns that you see showing up in the physical being that recur for people who have experienced trauma? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see everything. We're all kind of on a scale, so whether it's a small stress, a daily stress, sometimes, right now we're bombarded with so much technology and texting and emails that even that can become a stress on the system, that the body responds in the same way to that as it does to, you know, these more significant traumas. But there are classic ways that our body responds. And you can look at the spectrum of, you know, if you're imagine yourself driving down the road and you are on the highway and you see this accident starting to happen in front of you. And what's the response that you do as you skillfully avoid that accident and get yourself around it, but you, you know, grip the steering wheel, your head comes forward of your shoulders, your muscles lock, your vision becomes extremely focused. So you now no longer hear, you know, the person in the seat next to you talking to you or the music that was going on. You now all you see is the threat ahead. So you lose the big picture. You kind of focus on that. You hold your breath. So all of these things happen in this fight or flight response. And what it does is it's called our sympathetic system that fires and allows us to safely navigate something that's really dangerous. On the other side of that accident, missing it, you know, and then what do we do? And a lot of us, if we don't have resources at the time, we'll carry that, continue to carry that energy, that trauma in tight shoulders, you know, or we'll show up at a party where we were going to and we've got to talk about, oh my goodness, this terrible thing just happened to me and our shoulders are up to our ears and we're still not breathing. But the very universal response that the human, that we as humans experience. And it also, you know, the other piece is it creates that focal attention. So unless we can reset our nervous system through movement, through breath, and realize that we're no longer under that stress, we're no longer in that trauma, the body continues to relive it. So you will see it, you know, in all the people around you, in, you know, like their shoulders up to their ears, the forward head carriage, shortness of breath, a lack of vitality and expression, or a lack of ability to have full expression. So even, you know, you see somebody who's always smiling, you know, or always laughing, a lot of times that even in itself is just a restriction in that person's ability from a trauma of unable to fully express the full emotional range of our experience here.
Yeah, great articulation. Thank you. So for someone who's experiencing any of that symptomology, regardless of their level of consciousness around trauma, what do you recommend as some beginning steps to take to get into a better relationship with their bodies or a better relationship with their own vitality?
Yeah. Well, I think, you just kind of nailed it right there. I think it's really about relationship. And we get to change that relationship because a lot of us, you know, I'm licensed as a chiropractor, so a lot of people will come to me because they're experiencing pain, you know, so they may feel pain in their low back, they may feel they may have headaches, they may feel tension in their shoulders. So that's a gateway. It's a way that the body starts to wake up and it's like, what is my body trying to tell me? Is a different relationship than how can I take this pain away? And so when we start to realize that our body is really our ally and our body is our asset, like, you know, in some ways, it is our temple. It is what we get to share and experience this life and communion with others here through. But as far as our human potential, I would say we're living it like, you know, maybe 5 or 10% of what we can do with our experience because of our relationship right now with our bodies. We feel like it's a lot of times working against us. How many times have we heard that? You know, people will identify with you know, their sciatica or this, like it's an enemy, you know, or something against them. And as we start to realize that, that actually there's a lot of truth and there's a lot of wisdom in what our body is trying to show us, it really changes the entire equation for how we look at things. And when we change from a disconnection paradigm into a connection paradigm, there's just an abundance of resources that we come into contact with. I think that it also shows up just in, you know, relation to this particular topic and the podcast with our businesses. You know, it could be what wakes us up is, you know, a pain in our shoulder, but it could also be, you know, that we're stuck. You know, we just seem to hit this feeling, this place where we can't seem to go any further. And that's the same kind of response asking us to kind of have a new relationship with what's going on. You know, as we talked about with trauma, the first response when we don't have enough resources is the nervous system's excellent at actually disconnection. And it's a great survival strategy because we need to get on. We need to still pick up the kids from school, or we need to go to this work meeting, or we need to show up in different ways. We need to, as kids, we need to get our homework done. Whatever way it is, the ability to disconnect from a trauma, from something that's too much for us, creates a self-anesthesia in the body and allows us to take the next step. But what happens as whatever you're trying, whether it's business goals that you have or whether it's personal goals in your life as a human being with how you show up, we hit these ceilings. And, you know, I think those ceilings, those places where we feel stuck, is that edge of where we can start to look and realize that that we've, you know, that trauma, as we moved away from it, has motivated us and driven us in a direction. And now, in order to take that next step, we need another energy source. We need something that's going to get us past this stuck point. And believe it or not, it's often the energy of that trauma, the energy, the bound muscles, the bound energy in that locked posture, the bound emotional content of resonance that we haven't been able to process, that will actually propel us through that next phase, through that transformation phase in our life, and through, you know, really taking your business to the next step, or maybe it's just taking your personal relationship with your spouse, you know, or with your kids to the next step. But when we hit those stuck points, it's an opportunity for us to really self-reflect and realize that we've gotten as far as we can with that amount of energy. And so it's kind of the surprise that when we have a different perspective or different way, a different resource comes in, that we're actually able to start to tap into that same alienated energy, that same energy that you've stored for maybe 20, 30, 40 years. And now with resources, you can start to use it. And I think that's where, you know, it also, when people, some people would say that they're, you know, they feel connected to a soul's purpose. They feel like they, for some reason, have something that they have to express. And I believe that through this process, that a lot of those seeds, that those initial traumas, you know, are kind of the fuel and do guide us and lead us in really uncovering, you know, where is our fuel and energy? What is it that we're so passionate about? It's usually where something has been so wrong for us. And that's where, you know, getting help and having other people, their perspectives, to help us through those points, whatever that source of energy is, those resources, can really be a game changer for people.
Yeah, that's a fascinating concept, that we can actually receive energy from the experiences that we've had that were traumatizing to us, right? That,
yeah,
if we're able to address them directly, I want to make sure that I'm understanding you correctly. If we're able to address them directly and not push them down or suppress them or make them other than what they are, that we can actually use that energy to catalyze us forward.
Yeah, we kind of merge through them. We merge with them because they really are a part of our experience. We can't take back or ever cancel the fact that these things happen to us. But what we can do is redefine what it means in our life. And the way that we can do that is that you have to have another energy source. You have to have a different way of looking at it, a different resource of some sort. In order to do that, when we don't have enough energy or resources, we revert back into that sympathetic response of fight or flight, of disconnect, because it's not safe. But healing happens anytime, and it is often something that unfolds later in life when we have more resources, or when different catalysts, different things come in, is that it is that presence that now allows us to, in a safe way, when we have breath, when our nervous system is functioning well, we can now take that same experience and start to use it as fuel. And so, you know, my own personal experience when I was in a traumatic relationship, you know, I just became aware that not only, so this person was abusing me, and there was a period of time where I really had to dive in and see the abuse in a whole new way. I had been disconnected from it, and I was, you know, more of a victim of it. And that was an essential part of the journey. And as I continued to process that, what started to eventually come up is that point, but I'm the one who eventually consented to this, you know, and I began to find my own power in the experience because there was that peace. And so as I did that, I found a whole new source of energy of really starting to claim, well, what did I deserve? I deserve to be spoken to kindly. And as I started to claim how that happened in my life, these limiting beliefs started to come up of, well, why did I believe this? Why did I allow him to for 10 years speak to me in this way and treat me this way? And that was actually for me what started to uncover some of those traumatic memories. Oh, because, you know, 35 years ago, I'd had these experiences and my nervous system had coped to help me get through the past 35 years to this point. So now at that point, it was real game changer. And it just became my mantra. The more I do event, I was just like, show me all the ways that I consented to this. It was extremely empowering circumstance for myself and provided a lot of just a lot of energy to really transform my life. And I have a completely new life now, and one that I couldn't have even dreamed that I could have had before. So it is really fascinating what we can do with that stored energy, you know, stored experience once we have a different perspective or a different way of looking at it.
Absolutely. And your approach is to take an empowered stand for yourself rather than making the traumatic situation the enemy or the problem, or your body's response the enemy or the problem. You're choosing to say, to look at it and say, why is this happening? What is this rooted in? What do I actually want for myself instead? That's gorgeous. And I love the example that you lifted up. I want to lift up another example that speaks especially to conscious entrepreneurs who are growing their business. So I had this experience when I first started doing a lot of speaking from the stage. I would be in this pattern of every time I was getting ready to speak from the stage, I would throw up sometimes for hours because I didn't understand this at the time, but I had a huge fear of visibility because when I was a child, when I was visible, I would get hit or punished or abused or told that I was wrong or bad or inappropriate or what have you. So my body was having this visceral response to being literally visible in front of sometimes hundreds of people. But I didn't understand it. And what I was doing was I was punishing my body. I was saying, body, that's the wrong response to have. Body, why aren't you working with me? And my response was to kind of push or prove my way through it. Look, I can be visible, but my body kept having that response. And it took me a long time to figure out that actually my body was asking for some more support, was asking for some healing around this.
Yeah. Yeah. Now look what you do. You know, that's the fuel. It's like it's propelled you. And I see this over and over again with people that once we, and it's that tricky part, you know, it is that part between where we really change from disconnection and this external authority and external source of trauma and really starting to understand that that's true, that there's an acceptance piece. There is, you know, it's true suffering. Like we have to experience our experience and experience all that's wrong, you know, and what happened to you as a child is a terrible experience and is wrong. And your body needs to be able to express all of that. And as you get to the point of being able to express that, you now have been able to kind of harness that energy and go, wow, look at all this stored energy that I have here that now propels you to speak up, you know, in podcasts or all the different ways that you speak in front of people now. It seems like it's a real source of your ability to deliver your soul's purpose, you know, to all the people around you.
Yeah, and thank you for acknowledging that. And that was such an important shift because now, as I'm, even as you and I are talking, my body is so happy because I get to be fully expressed in this moment. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. I've done the work of honoring my body, because I'm doing the work, and it's still something I'm practicing, of showing my body how to be more in that parasympathetic response, that being able to breathe more easily, be fully responsive and present, not be in that fight or flight response.
Yeah. So, well, the core of the fight or flight response, though, too, is just not having enough resources at a time to process something. So, you know, even that energy, like, you've redefined that energy. There's a buildup of energy that happens for you before you come on stage, and your body used to translate that as too much, overwhelming, got to throw up because of your experience as a child. And now with you know, a different circumstance, you actually harness that energy. But I propose it's the same energy. You know, that now is that light, is that energy that flows through you in connecting with all the people in your audience that connects and lights them up. That now it's just, you have different resources and ability to kind of stand in that energy, but it's the same energy. And our culture right now, you know, it's ingrained in so many ways that buildup of tension is not a good thing. And so we try to dissipate pain. We try to dissipate tension. We always want to release tension, and that's good to a point, but that keeps us in a lower energy state. And that once we realize that we are capable, we are fully enough to hold that energy, and that energy starts, we're kind of afraid of our own energy a lot of times. But as we develop skills, and the nervous system is healthier, the nervous system absolutely can handle that level of tension and energy, but it just redirects it differently. And now, instead of it, you know, like sitting as a pit in your stomach and having kind of like an ejection response, I would imagine, you know, as you relate, that same tingly, that like your body feels so good. It's like, well, now, because your body knows what to do with that energy, and it realizes that it has options, it has a different way that it can use that same feeling, that same energetic resonance that used to be so terrifying for you because once upon a time you didn't have the energy to be with it. Well, now, you know, more than enough over and over again, oh, I know exactly what to do with this energy. And it's like, thanks for this energy to come in, because now I can share it and I can help to, you know, my expression of it helps to light other people up and help them share it.
Fantastic. And thank you for lifting that up. One of the things that I work with entrepreneurs on is doubling, tripling, quadrupling their income, becoming much more visible and present in their own business, especially if they are their brand. You know, if they're a coach or a practitioner like you, their name, their identity is their brand. And a pattern that happens when someone does a radical up level in their business, when they really blow things up and have a much more significant presence and much more significant results, is that often what I see is their bodies don't know how to keep up with that new vibration, that new way of being in the world. And the result is that the entrepreneur will get sick, will get overwhelmed, will go catatonic, will just completely shut down. So there's this pattern of, there has to be struggle in order to get to this next level. And I'm a huge advocate for having ease and grace as you're moving into that new version of yourself. Mm-hmm. Can you speak into that a little bit?
Yeah, it's super important, because it's like, you know, I'd also equate this as another analogy. It's like to the practice of yoga. You know, when people do yoga, it can be extremely beneficial, but it can also be harmful. And the point of yoga is to get you to that edge of awareness, not to the point of pain. And so just as we try to push through, or we try to do it when there's not that ease, neurologically, what happens is we go back into that disconnection spiral, because the system is now experiencing stress. When we experience pain, so let me just step back. So energy and quantity of energy is really everything's energy. And so as we experience more of it, it's how do we define it? Is it excitement or is it pain and anxiety? And so as we get, we all have that edge, and it's really about us kind of getting to that edge of where is there the most energy, where is the most awareness, where is the most sensation in my being without going too far. Because as soon as you go too far, you've now stepped beyond the resources that you have to support, and the nervous system goes into the fight, that same fight or flight response, and we shut down. We're rewriting our culture. There's just a lot of different ways that we've been taught to not go there and to not go to that place. And so we're missing some of our potential because it hits that edge. And as we can start to feel that edge and find our edge of where is the ease, where do I light up, where is there that most sensation? But that trauma, as we're talking about, as we have more energy, we have more expression, and that energy hits everything. So that power that starts to, if we're not okay with feeling angry, then every time that our energy builds up and we start to experience that very natural experience of our humanness, we shut down. And so it's kind of like opening up we have to open up our capacity, our physical capacity, our emotional capacity, our mental capacity to flow with that grace and ease through all of this energy. But we in our culture just don't quite understand what that means, and that it can be safe, it can feel easy, it can feel really energizing and feel really good. But it's all about that comfort of how we walk that edge, and where do we find it. And it's not about pushing through. That's old paradigm, an old story. And I think that the courage comes from feeling our authenticity. The courage automatically comes, and now you can't make a different choice. When you get to that point and you feel where you've been and you feel all the decisions, you see the Rolodex of all the decisions that you've made based on your avoidance of that particular feeling for your whole life, and you see it, and you get to the point where you can no longer bear the pain of doing that same decision again. And now it's a game changer, because now as you feel, as you harness that energy of that emotion, as you harness the energy, that frequency, you're now looking at it in a different way, and it now propels you through that place to take new courageous steps, because you know what the alternative is. You've seen it. You're like, wow, I've not only done that once, I've done that 10 times, I've done that 100 times. And so it kind of tips the balance, and that's so much of the secret of where we really find our power in our being. But we have to redefine how we look at our body and our experience, and start to realize that same buildup of tension, as it starts to hit those deep chords in our core and our being, like, what if we said, ooh, this is juicy, instead of, oh, I can't go there. Mm. So there's just a lot of energy and edge that we can harness, but having it be really juicy is a different experience. And that's what we can experience when we have support, when we have other resources, we have other things showing up. And that's where, yoga practice, it's like, don't go to it. If it's painful, then come right back. Where is that edge of awareness? Where are you really lit up? Where are you feeling your body more than you've ever felt it before it gets to that point of pain? And shut down.
Fantastic. Excellent articulation. Along those lines, are you able to speak into when you're talking about the edge? A lot of times what I see with entrepreneurs is as they're moving towards their edge, as they're getting ready to take new action, as they're doing something that makes them deeply uncomfortable, they will experience resistance and they'll back down. And I believe that there is a distinction between I've gone too far, I'm now triggered, I'm reverting to old patterns, and resistance. Does that question make sense to you?
Yeah, I have an answer, whether it's to that exact question.
Okay.
But I think what happens is that edge, that resistance, is there's a judgment. There's a judgment about a feeling and about a resonance that stops us, and that's the resistance. And so as we respect that, it's really about respect and congruence. As we respect that and understand, wow, I really feel this resistance. I feel, what is it? Where is it that I'm really uncomfortable going? That's that juiciness, and there's information there. But when we're in that that early stretch. There's so many different stages of transformation, but that particular one where we're not aware of how we can do it, but we know that we want to do something. We have something else that we want to birth or take that next step. And what inevitably happens is the first thing that you're going to experience because you're stretching that edge are the alienated resonances, the alienated feelings on a subconscious level that you don't really want to go to and you haven't. And so the difference is to be able to reach in that and go, well, what if this is just, you know, what I don't like? And to just sometimes just calling that out, like acknowledging it. We acknowledge what we like and what we don't like. And as we can do that, we can start to understand and then we can become more, I do it with people in their body, with breathing and movement. We actually map and find where are those places that shows up? Where is that anchor? And so as I push that edge, my breathing stops. I feel that resistance. Well, where do you feel that in your body? And it's that edge. You're asking people and we're asking ourselves to grow and become more conscious. And that involves stepping into what's subconscious and stretching a little bit. And so that subconscious barrier is often, you know, the things that we don't like are really important there. And so learning our patterns, you know, in our body about how we move towards things we like and away from things we don't like. And as we develop our own capacity and ability to stand in both of them, just stand in it and declare it, say it, feel it, we start to have that energy to go, oh, well, it's not that scary anymore. It's just what I don't like. That's it. But it's just a part of me. And that's how we start to work with that subconscious. We start to uncover it. And we still don't necessarily have the answers of how we're going to do it, but we're starting to get this fuel.
Mm. And what I hear you saying is release the judgment and go into possibility and keep asking questions.
Yeah, just stay. All you have to do is feel it, really. And sometimes just identifying, just feeling that edge of that, you know, what is it that you really can't, oh, I just can't feel this feeling. I just can't speak up, you know, for this. And just feeling that and acknowledging it while we're also acknowledging this part of us that really wants to grow and wants to take that next step. And it's paradoxical. It becomes a paradoxical experience of these two kind of polar opposites. And when we can connect with that in our bodies, we can connect with that with breath, we can now process that. And it no longer limits us. But that is what holds a lot of people back, is because we hit that you know, alienated energy. We hit that stuff that we're conditioned to move away from. And so the resistance gets stronger. And a lot of times as we try to push past it, the resistance just gets stronger. So kind of taking our step back and going, what's really here for me? What am I really, I'm seeing how I've always oriented my life around not experiencing that and experiencing that. Well, here's my growth edge. Here's where, as I feel this and inevitably that potential, that possibility starts to build up for people because we have all these seeds. We have these beliefs that, there is more to this experience. I was working with a client yesterday and she was talking about her limiting belief and realizing that she had this story around there's really nobody there. Nobody's got her back. There's nobody really looking after out for her. And so, you know, just in that space, I said, well, why does, you know, well, where does that bother you? You know, what's really, and I said, what do you deserve? Like what, somewhere in your being, there's some core human property, there's a human piece here that you know on some level you deserve more of. And she's like, well, yeah, I deserve to be supported. And it was a different, it was like a changer, you know, it's a game changer. So then she could start to feel that. And when she starts to feel, she's like, yeah, I know, as a human being, I have a birthright to this. And so everywhere in my existence, this just doesn't feel right when I have that and I've had this experience. And so now she doesn't know necessarily right now how she's going to attract that property into her life, but she's claiming it and she knows what's not it. And so now she's in a process at this point of really saying, as she claims that in her being, she's in a process of also seeing like everything that's no, that's not it, that's not it, that's not it. And it's okay to be in that no state, to really learn how to say no to things and not just accept the first thing that shows up. And now her fuel, her incentive for that is that she's got this, you know, what is that thing? Well, there's this birthright thing that somehow, for some reason, despite the 1,000 experiences that I've had for the last 40 years of my life, that no one's there for me, I know that another reality exists. And it's beyond our minds. It's not rational. Rational would be we just accept what we've got and this is it. But most of us, anyone who's kind of more a seeker or conscious on, you know, moving on a conscious path, we know we have these seeds that we also can't get rid of. If you've ever tried to just stop, if you ever tried to stop your path, you can't do it because these seeds keep coming back up and telling you that there's more to this. There's just something more, and it may be a faint little seed. But once we get to that point of acknowledging all, you know, being able to hold our ground and not become so charged around what we don't like, because we orient so much around that, we start to have more space and possibility to start to also hear the other voices of, yeah, this voice just won't go away that tells me that I deserve to have someone just completely love and adore me. And it doesn't make any sense because it's never showed up in my life. But for some reason, I just, no matter what I try to do, I can't get rid of that belief. So,
right. Right.
So it's opening up that capacity to feel everything.
Yeah. And that's the empowered path. And I'm so grateful for your explication of that and the examples that you've given. Wonderful. So Cynthia, how can people learn more about you?
Well, I have a practice in West Asheville, where I do in-person work, and my website, my business is actually called Le Coeur. It is the French word for the heart. And so to find out more information about me or my practice or the work that I do, Le Coeur Asheville is my website. And people can reach me through that.
Wonderful. And could you spell that for us?
Yeah, LECOEURASHEVILLE.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, Cynthia. It's been great to have you. Many blessings.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for asking. Blessings to you all.
Are you a conscious entrepreneur who has hit a financial ceiling in your business? Do you find yourself up in the middle of the night wondering where your next sale is going to come from? Do you struggle with working harder and harder yet not getting better results? Do you have a deep desire to take your business to the next level, but you aren't sure how to get there? If so, let's talk. I offer 30-minute complimentary consultations specifically designed to help diagnose what's keeping you from growing your business. To schedule your consultation, go to emmachurchman.com/consult Emma.